All right, here we are. You're back.
Hi.
There's no intro to this episode, by the way.
There's no intro?
Well, we do intros for other people, and when you're on the podcast, the intro is you.
Right.
Should we do it so we kick into the... Let's just do that so we kick into the podcast theme song.
Okay, so...
Here we go. The Daniel Jones Podcast is the best around. They play the Guinness Tango School Hotel for free. I'm so glad I do sometimes. Jimmy in from fucked up. Stop playing. Hang down. So here you are, Nick. You're back.
I'm home. I'm home.
When was the last time you were on the podcast?
I don't know. Late 2015? Early 2016? Mid 2016. Probably. Because I came back and did a podcast last year.
With who? Damien. Was it Damien?
Did we have Damien last year?
You were on the podcast just like... You've been on the podcast... No! Questions. Q&A. It was a Q&A.
We did the Q&A last year.
That's it. Yeah. That's all you did.
Or maybe even end of 2015. But...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been away.
You've been away.
You've been away.
Not from the podcast.
No.
We tried to do a Skype podcast because you released your comedy album.
Oh, that was a mess. Did not go well.
That did not go well. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, I guess we can air it.
One of the reasons why, I think I mentioned this in an interview, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we were in Italy last weekend, and someone asked me about you.
Oh, wow.
So I said, well, you know, Nick has been our friend for years, John and I, JC and I.
Right.
We've known him for years. We even worked together at one point. But the reason why I asked you on the podcast to co-host rather than anyone else was because we're friends, but we have this dynamic, real, true dynamic in our relationship where we just don't get along, right?
I guess so.
And sometimes that could be good fodder for, you know, podcasting.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it can go the other way,
like fighting.
It did when we tried to do a podcast on Skype.
There are a lot of problems.
Well... I mean, we won't go through the details, but the general gist of what happened was I got PO'd.
Yeah. And I was
mad. You got PO'd, and then I got PO'd at you.
Yeah.
You got mad at me in the...
Because you asked if I could do a podcast recording on a certain date. And in my knowledge, I knew that if I couldn't do that date, likely there would be no other day we could do it. This was what I told myself in my head. Yeah. Not saying that's what you would do.
These are assumptions you're making.
But it was an assumption. But I think it's always fair to say, because there generally is just one day that we can do things a lot of the time because of scheduling. You know.
But it was through Skype, so I'm much more flexible if it's Skype. If it's like one-on-one, yes. I mean, I'm here today, gone tomorrow a lot of the time. But Skype is everywhere.
So what my people-pleasing... needs kicked in, and I say, okay, we'll do this Skype this day. I'll make it happen. And I was scheduled to go to a trip to Palm Springs, California, with my family. And it actually didn't seem like a bad idea at all. It seemed like I'd be in a hotel, and there'd be, like, Wi-Fi, and I could do the Skype thing from there. And then, basically, the short answer was the Wi-Fi was bad.
That's...
Which...
That should have been the tip-off. Hotel Wi-Fi is really hit and miss, man.
Yeah.
More misses than hits.
Yes, more misses than hits.
And that's the assumption that you were working on, that I wasn't flexible. And then you got mad at me because I was flexible or it shit wasn't happening at the hotel for you. And then I got mad that you got mad at me. And then we just called the whole thing off.
Whole thing was called off.
And
my album...
That was fucking a year ago.
Yes.
Dude. That was a year ago.
So can we use this one to help advertise my album?
Absolutely. I mean, so this is real life shit that goes on in the podcast. So Nick and I, we didn't have a falling out. I don't think that happens.
No, I think we
but
did
I was
actually...
super fucking pissed.
We did work it out in a way pretty fast. Just kind of go like, look, this was not meant to go down this way, but it did, so... Anyway, let's, and then.
Yeah, I defriended you. on social all media. Social media. And then you email me going, did you just fucking defriend me? And I was like, yeah, yeah. Like I just was, I don't know.
But it now you're back.
It wasn't done hastily, but. I really, no, it didn't. I actually contemplated it for a while, and then I was just like, no, I gotta, you know, like, I wasn't doing it to get back at you. That's the one thing I wanted to relay to you, and I think I did in the emails. I didn't do it to get back at you or to just continue this fucking argument and make it bigger than it was. I just wanted to not think about it.
I completely understand. Because the most important thing in life is to let things go. And to let yourself go, and to gain weight.
I don't know what that means. Okay,
and smoke and to just end it. The most important thing in life is to finish your life faster than God.
Is this a segue to your comedy record?
No,
because it is sounding like that.
But no, the most important thing is to let things go. And like social media stuff has something to do. I mean, look, there's something called a mute.
You just burped.
No, I didn't.
You did.
No, I'm sure. Yeah, I did. I did. It's from the coffee.
Really? It's sparkling coffee?
Sparkling coffee. Carbed cough.
Okay, so listen.
Wait, just to finish this. Yeah. It was, is to let things go. And if you're pretending things are cool and you're seeing people's tweets and photos of them at events and you're annoyed with them, you'll think about that every time you see this, probably, if you have any level of you know, being irritated being something that can really take over your life, which I feel like you might have an element of that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had this recently where like an ex-girlfriend I dated was mad that I wasn't following her on like Instagram, or I'd unfollowed her. And she'd never been following me since we broke up, but she took it like, oh, I thought you wanted to know about my life. And I'm like, I do. I just thought we had like an agreement to not like really be have to check in. You know what I mean? But that's people nowadays.
Can I say, even though I don't know who she is, can I say that's odd?
Yeah, you can. I mean, honestly,
I don't know who she is.
The whole thing is odd, you know.
So let's talk about what we originally wanted to do an episode on last year, which is your comedy record. So your comedy record was released digitally and on cassette.
Yes.
It's something that I think I voiced my opinion on in a private email to you about the cassette part.
Yeah, you voiced displeasure or a sort of reaction that bordered on just, what are you doing?
I find just a hipster thing. People who buy cassettes use it as furniture in 2017. Don't tell me you actually listen to it like you would a CD or a record or even
an MP3. I'll tell you something, not to name drop, but I met this guy, Chris, from Autopsy. You know that dude? You ever meet him?
Autopsy the band?
Yes.
Okay.
Like the, you know, the drummer singer?
Okay. I didn't know you would drop that, but
yeah, what dropping
about
it?
What about Autopsy? Hard.
I know why, audience. You know, you guys want to hear about. I hope Chris doesn't mind, but him and his wife were kind enough to pick up the tape.
Well, that's great. I'm glad they bought it.
And he texted me and said, "I am blasting the tape in the car."
Listen, there's no car that comes that has a cassette recorder in it.
Well, I'm on the West Coast,
that
bro.
That is made today.
Okay? No, not made today, but we're careening towards a Road Warrior style future very close.
The cassettes are going to be the first to go.
No, they'll be the only things we have left because we'll only have 80s era cars because the rich kids will be driving the Honda CRVs and such.
Yeah, so you take them. That's what you do. Listen, cassettes are ridiculous. I didn't know we would veer into this discussion.
But I mean, you started
and
it.
It's the only people who really like it are people who didn't live through it. I lived through cassettes.
It. I lived through it.
I lived through cassettes unraveling and breaking on me. Literally, the shell breaks.
And
Memorex tape sucked.
Sometimes even ruining the tape player because the ribbon would come out, break, and wrap somehow around the little... I mean, look, I'm not trying to say. I have a feeling these are like the highest quality tapes, you know, you'll find.
How do you know that?
Because you can order.
There was more quality control when there was more cassettes on the market back in the day.
That might be true. But it's actually a company in Toronto called taping.ca that I mean, someone offered.
There's a cassette company?
Yeah, someone offered to put the tape out for me. Aesthetically, I'm quite happy with the tape. It looks cool. There's something pretty cool about being able to make a cassette that looks like an alternative Tentacles cassette, you know, and from the 80s.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's just furniture. It's just something that you look at.
Yeah, it comes with a download code. You know, it's like...
Yeah, that's cool. Fine. So it's basically an elaborate download code.
It's an elaborate... It's download code with, like, a physical copy you can... put on your mantle or whatever.
Yeah, it's
and I support.
Don't tell me people are listening to the cassettes.
I support it. Although I just unloaded a lot of my cassettes and I got some prices that you would lose your mind for.
You know, That's what I wish I kept my cassettes.
I sold the first Unsane on Discogs, not for a crazy amount, but for $17, which is like a lot.
Oh my god, what fucking hipster loser doofus bought that?
He seemed cool.
Well, he's desperately trying to be.
And then
I hope it's working for him at least.
I mean, I sold my copy of Mobb Deep's The Infamous on cassette.
That'll sell.
$50. I sold All Eyes on Me.
Fuck, you know,
my double cassette of All Eyes on Me for $45.
Do you know that the Mobb Deep, The Infamous, that's like, it sounds awesome on double vinyl that I have. How awesome is it going to sound on a cassette?
Well, okay, I need to argue with you here. This is actually something that I need that needs to be discussed, and it has to do with it's retro gaming. It's very similar to retro gaming, but it's like you cannot deny that, especially '90s hip hop. You know, there is, even if it's not the best sounding way of it, the tape deck, the Walkman, those are key ways those albums were listened to, which relates to mixtape culture, you know? So it's like, whether or not you want it to be true or not, you know, sometimes your situation, especially if you're driving, you didn't have a CD player in your car in like the 90s, you had a tape player, you know? So those tapes, they represented my walk to and from school. Illmatic, you know, Boot Camp Click, and
I'm not saying it didn't.
So nostalgically, and I do say that the Infamous tape, the quality level of the tape was very high. Same with the Ready to, same with, I also sold Ready to Die for like $20, and the quality level of those tapes.
You
to
had that
to,
on cassette?
Yeah, I had tons of shit on cassette. I had a really good cassette collection.
You know, I was working...
I had The Day the Laughter Died on double cassette.
I was working in a record store when all those records were released, and it only came out on CD. Where the fuck did you find it on cassette?
They were released on cassette. I bought them at Primal Scream Records, which is a super old used place in Toronto on Bloor. And yeah... I sold that, but then I did something where I knew that I was like really overdoing it by selling these tapes for so much. And I did like just a trade for the bulk of my collection, which included like, you know, Boogie Down Productions, first three albums and you know, Kumo B, How You Like Me Now, and Kumo D and and I traded that for...
You had a Cool Mo D cassette?
But I got that when I was working at Outside Music. I just found it. I wouldn't... But Cool Mo D was good. Yeah, and a few... And a Craig G, DJ SNS mixtape that I bought was the first mixtape I ever bought. So I have a new album.
What's it called?
Wiped Privilege.
And the cover is a picture of you with toilet paper wrapped around your...
Yes.
Your head?
Yeah.
Your noggin?
Yeah.
And how, now that it's a year old, how did it go?
Well, it's still going. You know, like, that's really the truth of putting out an album, especially a comedy album. I mean, I feel more inclined to promote the record now, you know, as inclined as I did at the beginning of the year. You know, also Comedy Dynamics put it out. Digitally.
Is that a
pretty good label? I mean, they're a huge label. You know, they do comedy specials and they do, digital albums.
So when's your Netflix special coming out? Because Netflix is putting out specials of people who are not funny.
Do you feel like naming names?
No, I'm not going to name names.
Can you delete it after and just name the name?
But then that's extra work.
Okay.
I'll tell you after.
Sure. Well, yes, Netflix is doing a lot of buying. I'm sure Comedy Dynamics would be happy to try to do something with a Netflix, with a special I shot and made. Like, that's the thing about them. They're almost they're like a No Limit Records almost, you know, of comedy. They've put out everything. Chelsea Peretti, one of the greats, they did that. Bill Burr's special.
So this company that you were involved with for your release put out that Chelsea Peretti Netflix special.
Yeah, they put
that
out
that was really well done.
They did Ali Wong, Baby Cobra.
Oh, that one was a hit.
Yeah,
so those two are amazing.
So it's
what was the third one you said?
I think they did one of the Bill Burr specials.
Oh, Bill Burr.
Course. They might have done the black and white one, which is one of his best specials.
Yeah, those are great.
That might even be his best special, really, the black and white one.
I'm not including those three comedians on my list of
no, of course not. I mean, Ali Wong, that comedies. Was such a great special.
Yeah, she's amazing.
They agreed to put it out, which was a bit of a surprise. I'd recorded it myself and was just going to do it digitally, and then.
Do you have a Bandcamp?
Yeah, thing? I also have a Bandcamp. So nickflanagan.bandcamp.com. The albums Pay What You See.
Pay what you can.
Pay what you see. So if you see the price, that's what you pay. It's pay what you can there. Yeah.
Okay. So you're about to really put it digitally, and then they contacted you. How did they?
I believe I contacted them. Like, I think I did a little bit of like cold calling, just random labels to be like, hey, I'm putting this out
at the 12th hour.
Well, there was no real hour. You know, like I didn't really have a reason to put out the album. You know. It kind of wound up coming out of a really bad time, the end of December, and then also being extra coming out at a bad time because, like, the tape came out in, like, late November.
Right.
The album was released in December.
Right.
And I made the Bandcamp in, like, early January, late December. So right. I had sort of three levels of telling people I had something, and I think that really diluted the whole thing. And I also am really bad at like sending mass emails or sending out emails and being like, hi, would you mind telling people about my album?
That's why you get a publicist to do it for you.
Yeah, but publicists charge, you know, quite a bit of money that there's no way I could make back. It doesn't tie into a label or touring in any manner. So it's like, I mean, I almost had a publicist for my first record and, it was awesome. She was a great person, and she was really into it. But then she was with a publicity company at the time, and just we had that conversation. She's like, yeah, so it's going to be about $2,000 a week. And I'm just like,
oh,
you know, like, yeah, we can't really afford that. You know,
that's amazing.
That's pretty much what, yeah. I mean, because America is just a land of... I mean, capitalizing within capitalism. It's like every middle person, every service doer is trying to get as much money as they possibly can. You
know? Well.
Unless they're doing you a favor, which they are also willing to do a lot of the time there.
Did you go on tour for it?
I went to Portland once. I mean, I haven't been able to really do any touring. I don't know how to book tours particularly. I don't. Drive. I don't have any extra money to invest in touring, which is a huge thing.
We should do a podcast show of comedy night. So we get Rouse, who's been here, you, whoever's been on the podcast as a comedian.
Sean Cullen.
Nikki Payne. Tim Gilbert. Brett Weinbach.
Marty Tops.
Andy Kindler.
That's a good show.
Frasier Young.
Love this show.
Are we missing anyone?
Yeah, I'm sure we are. We've had a bunch of... We said Sean Cullen, did we?
We did, we did. Yeah. But that's... Oh, Megan Pettit.
Megan Pettit.
So that's 10 comedians.
I'm doing a show with her tonight in Waterloo.
You have to go to Waterloo tonight.
Yeah, I'm driving there at 7. Yep.
So that's 10 people. We should do a little comedy night. I'm more than willing to be the MC.
Yeah.
We can do it at Unlovable or... some place
I mean,
that
you got
familiar
people who
with.
Live in a lot of different places. So getting Andy Kindler when he's in town.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be Kindler or.
What you do is you come to LA and we do the LA version, which is me and Jason Rouse and Andy Kindler and
yeah, that would be amazing.
And maybe a comedian friend of yours, maybe Jim Florentine's in town.
Absolutely,
see if Jim
Florentine. Oh, Jameson, of course, Don Jameson.
You know what? You could probably get that at the Comedy Store.
Yeah, it'd be amazing.
And then if we do it here, we could do it at Comedy Bar or Unlovable and with all those comics. I love this idea. I'm into it.
Because I'm not really, you know, we've talked about like live versions of the podcast. You know, other podcasts do it. It sounds pretty cool. Way to drum up some publicity for the podcast from other angles. But truth be told, I don't really like it.
What don't you like?
Like doing a live podcast with a guest and a Q&A and
all this
stuff. Yeah, I think
the live podcast. I like it takes a very special
live
podcast.
But this is a way to get the podcast out and in the public without really making it a podcast thing. The podcast can be kind of the background.
Yeah.
So let's discuss this off the mic further.
Well, just going back with... Did you listen to the record? Do you listen to White Privilege? Did you...
I helped edit the... Well, kind of helped edit.
Well, you heard a lot... You heard a lot of different...
Alive.
You heard a lot of different edits of it. Yeah. And the one we settled on is definitely the best one. But I was
not
like...
Not mine.
It was close to yours. But it was... and I think it was only not yours because there was a specific reason I wanted to do it the other way. Like it was just more...
Well,
more...
you... Yeah. Like I chose deliveries of jokes.
It was something involving that
you didn't like.
It was like
I chose an alternate version or something.
It was just alternate versions where like the segues were a little. It didn't feel like I could make it sort of pop enough. But maybe you were right because right now I got one amazing review from the Laugh Button. You know,
my edit was down. I stand by my edit.
Maybe I'll revisit the edit.
For further future releases,
but,
if anything.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely put it out like a band puts out an album, which is not smart, where I was like, this is how I feel. This is, well, with one huge difference from how a band puts out an album called touring. And I put it out, and I was kind of like, people are going to like this. This is going to be fun. And it's like, some people liked it. I mean, I think people like it. I don't think people hear it and dislike it very often, but... I didn't really tour it, and it's essentially just exists as a piece of merch, really. Like comedians, especially, you know,
that's what it is.
It's like they don't have any illusions, most comedians, that they're putting out some album that's like a statement, like a band, you know, like this is who I am right now. It's like I did a thing, I'm trying to sell it after the show.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you know that comedian Joe Mandy?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he put a lot of records out on Bandcamp just on his own? He just...
He did a couple of things. I don't know if they were on Bandcamp. I feel like they weren't. He put out a mix tape. That was his big idea, which if you'll recall was something I did like 15 years ago. I put out something called the Nick Flanagan mixtape that I was like selling... Like, you know, I had like 20 copies of. And
of
was,
what? Different songs? Like
no, like different sets. Different comedy sets in different places. And me like talking into the mic on my mom's Mac, you know, in between. Not like I'm saying Joe ripped off the idea. I'm just saying I had that idea a long time ago. I have lots of good ideas. And then people execute them more professionally.
Well, I mean, that's how it is in today's world of...
Workaday.
Well, it's just so easy to get things done than it used to be. I mean, it's so easy for, like, someone to just sit down and edit a comedy album like I did.
Yeah, but I am happy with the album. And so my idea is now that, like, I just really need to contact people directly. I really need to just contact people, every person direct. I need to say to people directly, do you want to hear my album? Here it is on Bandcamp. It's Pay What You Can. Do whatever you want.
Wiped Privilege is out now on...
cassette?
Cassette.
Radical Documents cassettes. You can order it through my Bandcamp, nickflanagan.bandcamp.com. You can also pick up my album there. Check it out on Spotify.
Is a follow-up record in the works?
I'm so far away from that. I mean, you know, it's been like literally...
Are you working on a Netflix-type special?
I really would love to. It's just, in LA, I'm not really getting enough stage time, and I'm not touring enough, so, and I'm trying to, like, just survive and get jokes, so I do want to make a special. I don't think it would be made until possibly mid-next year.
Thanks for coming back on the podcast.
Thanks. Follow
Nick
me on
Flanagan's
Twitter.
Flanagan's return. The Flans.
Yeah.
At The Flans, right? Flans. Did you change it again or no?
No, it's been at The Flans for over 5 years
and
now.
And then Instagram is?
Nick Flanagan.
Just Nick Flanagan, one word?
Yeah, I actually got that. That's a big get.
Why? Someone had it before?
Well, I mean, there's lots of guys named Nick Flanagan. That was
oh,
the one
you were
who
the first.
Nick Flanagan.
Oh, okay, I get it.
Which I also had for Twitter and then I didn't keep it.
You didn't keep Nick Flanagan? What are you, crazy?
I'm crazy.
So now you're the Flans. All right, yeah, we got to just go with that.
Pretty good.
At least it's not like Flans 63 or something.
Yeah, no, it's The Flans.
Oh, it's The Flans.
Yeah.
Did I say that? Yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
That's great. We end on your social media handles.
Yes.
That's a good way to end.
I'm on LinkedIn.
Dude, I don't even know what that is, man. I don't even have a normal job.
No.
I get those emails all the time. Someone wants to add me on LinkedIn.
Don't do it.
I don't even know what that fucking thing is, man.
I'm on LinkedIn.
Are you on Snapchat?
Yeah.
Are you on Tinder?
No. I'm on Snapchat.
Are you on Bumble?
No. I'm not on Raya, the rich person, fancy person.
Is that the
celebrity one?
Celebrity,
yeah.
Tinder? Shouldn't you be? Don't you qualify as...
No.
Why not?
I don't know.
You're out there. You're in the public eye.
I don't seem to be.
You're out there.
You think so?
You've got a record and you do public performance.
I'm doing a good show with Neil Hamburger on the 24th of March. This probably won't air by then.
Yeah, it will.
Oh, well. I'm sorry, the 24th of September.
Oh, yeah. Bye. No, yeah. That's gone.
Kevin Nealon's on
it
the
was
show.
A great,
David Cross
really?
On the show.
Whoa,
yeah.
That's heavy, man. Neil yeah. Hamburger, Kevin Nealon, David Cross, Nick Flanagan.
James Adomian.
Who's that?
James Domian's a very amazing impressionist. He's been on the Stern Show a lot lately.
Oh, did you hear that knock? It's
yeah,
it's Nick
go.
Sewell. We got to go. Right. Okay. Thanks, Nick. And let's usher in the next Nick.
Do we have any fans of the Maroon 5 in the audience?
Woo!
I like you. I like you. You're brave. You supported the Maroon 5. You have my heart. Normally, nobody says anything when I ask that, and I love the Maroon 5. I love them. I just don't buy their music. I download it all illegally because they are problematic. We all know the Maroon 5 were abused by their cruel stage father, Joe Maroon, who would lock Michael Maroon in the closet when he wouldn't hit high notes, squeezing Tito Maroon into those tight silver pants. What did he do to LaToya Maroon that made her this way? Check out some of the Jermaine Maroon solo albums, though. They're pretty funky. Worth a bit of Skrilla.